We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Emergency power shutdowns in Ukraine after more Russian missile attacks. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for joining us. President Zelensky has confirmed Ukraine has switched to emergency shutdowns to stabilize its power grid after the latest attacks by Russian on civilian infrastructure. Millions are now without electricity and running water as the temperatures plummet across the country. And it's another major challenge for already struggling Ukrainian businesses. Alex Dorobikov runs a tech company in Bucha, 40 minutes from Kiev. He told us how his company was trying to keep working.
We do not have electricity, we have no water, we have no internet. And since our business is basically all about internet, we are doing everything to support and supply our employees with power generators and Starlinks. It takes time, of course, to deliver all of that and get started.
Well, that Starlink network mentioned there is the satellite arm of Elon Musk's SpaceX firm. It's been one of the many vital tech workarounds for Ukrainians, allowing them to access the internet and other digital communications when cell towers, for example, are knocked out. Ukraine's Deputy Minister for Digital Transformation, Alex Borniakov, was speaking at the recent FinTech Connect conference in London about how Ukraine has been using tech solutions to try to combat Russian aggression. And he told us the country was planning to double its Starlink capacity.
In the beginning of war, the plan was completely to destroy communication. And it's obvious that without communication, it's impossible to make this coordination between military units. So they actually succeed in that. And then they started to destroy cell towers. But we established direct contact with Elon Musk. So in a matter of days, Starlink were in Ukraine and they were delivered on the front line. And Russians were not able to jam it, but they were not able to destroy coordination of our military, of our hospitals, of our schools. And now we have almost 22,000 units of Starlink, and we are actually, I think I'm announcing this for the first time, but we secured help of German and Polish government and private institution for another almost 20,000 units.
How worrying, though, that there have been reports that the price of these units might go up and that the subscription to use the services might go up. Have you spoken to Elon Musk about that? Have you had any assurances around the cost of both the units and the subscriptions?
I think we've figured something out, but I also saw some reports that the price is going up, but it won't affect all the Ukrainians. It won't affect like hospitals or schools where Starlink is, because in most cases right now, our partners from Europe, they pay the subscription fee.
That's Alex Borniakov there. The Canadian government has announced sanctions against three wealthy Haitian businessmen accused of financing the country's criminal gangs. They'll have their assets in Canada frozen and will be banned from the country. Here's the BBC's Leonardo Rocha.
Canada's Foreign Minister Melanie Joly said the three men were using their power as members of Haiti's economic elite to promote armed gangs involved in murders, kidnappings and money laundering. Among them is Haiti's only billionaire Gilbert Bigeau. Canada is the second biggest donor of aid to Haiti after the United States. Haiti's unprecedented political and economic crisis began after the yet unexplained assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in July last year.
Leonardo Rocha. Plastic is everywhere in modern life, but has also become a scourge for the planet. According to a UN study, 14 million metric tons of the stuff damages aquatic ecosystems every year. Earlier this year, 170 nations endorsed a United Nations resolution to end plastic pollution, but progress is slow. A legally binding agreement is not expected until 2024. The BBC's James Graham met one Dutchman, Boyan Slat, who's working to rid the Pacific Ocean of rubbish through his organisation, Ocean Cleanup.
Out in the Pacific, hundreds of miles offshore, two ships slowly pull a shallow net. It traps rubbish which works its way into a bag at the centre. When that's full, one ship pulls a random mess of plastic out of the ocean. Broken buoys, a tangle of fishing nets, old tubs, thousands of small fragments. That's the sound of 7 tons being emptied onto the deck, but it is literally a drop in the ocean. Boyan admits it'll take billions of dollars to clean the oceans, but how can he finance the project on such a scale?
You know, we don't pretend to have all the answers, but what we do fundamentally believe is that there is a market need for what we're doing. You know, we already see more and more governments that we engage with willing to actually pay. You know, beyond that, of course, you have the fast-moving consumer goods companies. I think there's a real reputational risk for them. Having their brands on products in the wrong places is a real liability.
But, you know, one criticism you've had is that it's a good example of greenwashing, where big companies can be seen to be doing good by supporting you, then they can wash their hands of all of the plastic they're pumping out into the environment. What's your take on that?
I think it's a very valid concern. I think it really depends on what the deal entails. If it means some token money and being very visible in terms of publicity, that would be an obvious example of greenwashing. If it's at a credible scale and the exposure is not, you know, associated with advertising in store or something that sort of directly promotes sales, and they also work to reduce the amount of plastic they produce, that does not, you know, entail greenwashing, but it actually means companies taking a responsibility for the pollution that they are part of.
That's Boyan Slat of Ocean Cleanup there. Well, here's a counterintuitive one for you, perhaps. The boss of one of Europe's biggest airlines, KLM, the Dutch firm, has told passengers to get the train rather than the plane. Don't worry, it was only for short-haul routes and for be good for the environment. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.